Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Rob Rob Show back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. Rob Lonzo and you. Be a part of the show. 844-GSP. ESPN 844-477-3776 is the number. The Ingles Market text line is open as well. 71307 is the number for the Ingles Market text line. 71307. Start your text with ESPN so that we can read them on the air. And of course, tweet us at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, and at ESPN Upstate. Can I just take a minute, Lonzo? Can I just take a minute to get something off my chest? All right. I just gotta get something off my chest real quick. And it's very simple. This is it. This is all I gotta say. NBA fans, of which I am one, by the way, NBA fans, there's a lesson that I need you guys to learn, all right? There's a lesson I need you guys to learn. And the lesson is this. A thing being said by someone with a voice in and on the national media does not require you to parrot that thing. Because somebody in the national media said a thing, you are not required to repeat that thing. Okay? You're not. Here's what I mean. Back in the last hour of the show, we didn't break the news, but it was breaking-ish news that the Upstate's own Zion Williamson, of course a member of my New Orleans Pelicans, will have a new head coach roaming the sideline next year. We don't know who it will be. We know that Teresa Weatherspoon, who is an assistant coach for the Pelicans, is considered a front-running contender for it. We also know that there are multiple other coaches around the league who have also been let go. Any of them may show up. There are some names in the college world that have been considering a jump that may show up. We don't know who it's going to be, but we know it won't be Stan Van Gundy, who, according to news press release earlier today, mutually agreed with David Griffin and the New Orleans Pelicans to part ways. And the first tweet that we received talking about that fact was from I Am Tim Frisbee 89. U of South Carolina football alum number 89, fifth quarter postgame show, and a gentleman who follows me on Twitter. No issue with old Tim Frisbee. Really cool. He's got a picture of him as his Twitter profile with Jay Leno holding up a Zion Williamson,
guest on the Mark Ryan offsides thing. We won't hold that against him.
No, not at all. Not at all. We all make questionable decisions. I'm not mad about that. Tim Frisbee, who many of you will know, tweeted the show and said, Zion needs to get out of New Orleans as fast as he can. And quote, Lonzo said, where do you go? And Tim Frisbee said, the New York Knicks. I find something comically funny, Lonzo. And I had another tweeter at Zach, a.k.a. Demiz, who texted in. And he brought up a very valid point. Lonzo, have you ever noticed that whenever you hear an NBA fan say, player X has got to get out of that market and go to a big market team, they are always, and I'm making an assumption here about Tim Frisbee. I have not had the privilege and pleasure of meeting him in person yet, though I suspect I will one day. Based on his answer, and I could be wrong, and Tim, if you're listening, feel free to call into the show. Even though you're on Mark's show, I'll happily have you on ours. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. He's clearly listening to the show because he's tweeting the show about what we were talking about. So, I'm making an assumption here, but I would be willing to bet all the cash in my pocket, which is great because I left my wallet in my other pants. But I do have a dollar. I got a dollar right here. There's my dollar. I do have a dollar, Tim, Zoe, that says Mr. Frisbee is at least impartial to the New York Knickerbockers. Every time I hear an NBA fan say something along the lines of that player, Giannis, Zion, KD when he was in Oklahoma City, whoever. Every time I hear an NBA fan say that player needs to get out of that small market and go to a real team, they are always a fan of the Knicks, the Nets, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bulls. Always. They are always a shill for one of the big teams. Every time. Just because the major media folks tell you that a player cannot be successful in a small market does not mean that you have to repeat it. Zion Williamson is a face for the league. Zion Williamson done got his shoe line. He already got it. You can go right now to Nike's website and pick up a pair of the Zions. And some of them pretty slick looking, if I may say so myself. I'm not a sneakerhead, but Z's line's pretty solid. Now, all I have to do, Lonzo, to point out the reason that he does not have to leave a small market for a big one is just point at what Giannis Antetokounmpo is doing right now in Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Bucks are still alive as a small market team, if you will, in these NBA playoffs. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is the reason why. Now, over the years, it's taken some time, but Giannis Antetokounmpo has gotten the Bucks in a spot where they've got a coach that clicks with the team, something that New Orleans has not found yet. He's got a young core of players around him and a couple of vets like Drew Holiday that are helping him build up that team. That is something that the Pelicans have mostly in place right now. And Giannis, by way of being Giannis, has turned himself into one of the superstars in the league. That is something that Zion Williamson is already doing. If you want to intentionally anger Rob Brown, it's very simple to do so, Lonzo. Tell me that NBA small market teams don't deserve to have star players, and tell me, in essence, that NBA small market teams don't deserve to have success because it's BS.
Well, I'm not being devil's advocate here, but I was curious about how many small market teams have won a championship, because I think a lot of the reasons why people bring up this player needs to leave this program is because legacies are measured by championships. And can Zion win in a small market? Can Giannis win in a small market? And I looked it up, and since 1989, just three small market franchises have won the championship. San Antonio several times, Detroit and Cleveland once, and that's it. So only three teams that are considered small market teams have won the whole thing. So if it comes down to, if you consider a legacy is made by championships, can Zion win in New Orleans? Because if you look historically, the answer would be probably the percentage would be pretty low.
I would make the argument, Lonzo, that there's a reason for that. Of course, small market teams can't win titles when the world has convinced these players that if you're in a small market, you can't win a title, right? Remember, LeBron James went to Cleveland when he entered the league. He won a championship there, right? Now, I'm not saying Zion's on par with young 20s LeBron James. I'm not saying that. I think because he is such a different player than we've ever seen before, that it's hard to argue that maybe he can't have the same impact. But I look at San Antonio. What did San Antonio do? They convinced Tim Duncan, one of, if not the best four players of all time, that, hey, if you stay here, if you build alongside Popovich, we will build you a core of players that can win a title with you. And what happened? They did that a few times. But I look at the Kevin Durants of the world. To some degree, the LeBron James of the world. I'm not making the argument, Lonzo, that it won't be infinitely more difficult. It will be dramatically more difficult to win a championship with a small market team. But who would you have more respect for, Lonzo? Honestly, who would you have more respect for? Would you have more respect for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden winning five titles with the Nets? Or would you have more respect for Zion Williamson staying in New Orleans and winning one championship in 10 years? Which would you honestly have more respect for?
See, I don't think I can answer this question without bias, because I don't like Kyrie Irving. I don't like Kevin Durant. And, you know,
Let me hit you with a different metaphor then. What do you have more respect for? LeBron James World Championship in Cleveland or LeBron James World Championship with the Lakers?
The one in Cleveland, without
a doubt. Correct. That's what I'm talking about. I would have infinitely more respect for a championship won by a superstar. Giannis in Milwaukee, Zion in New Orleans, by a star who brings a ring to a small market. A small market, by the way, that is told year after year, not only can you not do it, but guys like Tim Frisbee, with all due respect, are telling me, Lonzo, when they say Zion must leave, you know what they're saying to me as a small market team fan? You don't deserve a chance. You don't deserve a superstar. You don't deserve a championship. You don't deserve to be happy as a fan. Why? Because your city is smaller. Take that noise and run, Mod. Take that noise and run out, dog. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me that Pelicans fans don't deserve to have a good basketball team because their city is smaller than New York. It's a bad line. It's a bad line. Don't tell me that Zion Williamson should go to New York and win a title because there's more people that live there. That's a bad line of thought. So the folks that are hitting, Rob, as a Pelicans fan, you don't deserve to keep Zion because there are two more people in New York City. I don't care. Don't tell me he can't be successful. He got his shoe line. He's on the face of every NBA advertisement. And it's not like the Pelicans are going to pay him significantly less than the Knicks are.
And by the way, I mentioned, you know, going somewhere to win the championship. That's not going to happen in New York. So if Zion does go there, they're still not going to win a championship.
Oh, yeah. This year was absolutely the anomaly. Absolutely. James Dolan. I would rather play for New Orleans than James Dolan if Dolan was in charge of literally any other organization, the Knicks included. You're telling me, right? What have the Knicks... So, what have the Knicks done to answer Tim Frisbee directly? What have the Knicks done that make them a potentially more successful place to be than New Orleans in the past decades? What have they done?
To my knowledge, nothing.
Not a damn thing. Not a damn thing. But yeah, Zion needs to run to the Knicks. Why? Why? The only reason that I would say go to a big team is if, like, Z was going to replace Anthony Davis in the Lakers. That's it. And that's only if the number one priority for a guy like Zion is to win. Not win a championship, Lonzo, but to win a championship now. That's why AD left, right? That's why Anthony Davis left. Not because the priority was to win a championship, because Anthony Davis is, based on his body style, probably got just a handful of years left in the league. He wanted to win a championship now. Could the Pelicans have kept building around Anthony Davis to get to a championship? I don't know. Now, I will say this. There is a chance that the front office of the Pelicans just don't know how to build a team around a superstar to win a championship. There's a chance. And if Zion's in New Orleans 8, 9, 10 years and they are no closer to winning a title than he bails, I won't be mad. Hello, Chris Paul. Chris Paul poured his heart and soul out in the 504. They built some decent teams around him. Remember, for a while they were Oop City with him and Tyson Chandler. Chris Paul and Tyson Chandler had more alley-oops than any other duo in the NBA for like 3 years running, right? But the Pelicans never got any closer. But this is a new team with a new general manager, a new president of operations, now a new coach. If Zion gets to the end of his rookie contract and goes, you know what? We are no closer now than we were to a championship when I got brought in, so I'm going to head out. Okay, sucks. That's on the Pelicans for not building a team. But I look at what they're doing right now, and it looks like they're building a team. Great young core. Brandon Ingram's a max player. Zion's is a max player. They need a shooter. If they had a shooter this year, they're in the play-in tournament. They just didn't have a three-point shooter. The ones they expected to be there fell out, which sucks. But it's a fixable problem. Just because the big market media folks for, and I'm sorry to take them down, but for ESPN and Fox and all that go, oh yeah, small market teams, man. You got to leave the small market, do you? Because Giannis Antetokounmpo is what? 10 games away from being an NBA champion in a small market team where everybody told him he couldn't do it? I guess we'll find out. When we come back, want to talk a little bit about these South Carolina emails. We haven't hit them on the show yet, but somebody that I follow, a college football analyst that I have a lot of respect for, made a point after reading through all the emails that I find very interesting, and I'll share it with you next on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We'll be right back. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. Thanks so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. 844-477-3776. I want to talk about the South Carolina emails. They broke last week, and basically, let me do kind of a run through as to what was found. The state newspaper was the one who filed the FOIA reports in order to get an inside look as to exactly what was being said in these emails. And here's a few of them. The state opens their article by saying, though, on Thanksgiving night 2020, an email landed in the inbox of South Carolina Athletic Director Ray Tanner. It read, quote, "You need to go get him and not screw around. Nothing good happens when you wait or hesitate," end quote. The "him" referred to in that email was then Oklahoma assistant Shane Beamer. The email sender was Mac Whittle. Do you know who Mac Whittle is, Lonzo?
Sounds familiar.
He is a 30-year member of USC's Board of Trustees. 30 minutes after urging Tanner not to screw around, Whittle sent another email which said, and I quote, "Do not screw it up," end quote. That was it. That's the emails he sent. A link to a bio of Shane Beamer and a note that said, "Do not screw it up," end quote. But he wasn't the only person who sent those emails. There was another one that came out later. There were multiple ones that came out later. Josh Conklin, head coach at Wofford and a former defensive coordinator at Pittsburgh, emailed both Ray Tanner and Bob Caslin directly and sent Caslin a direct message on Twitter, pitching himself as a, quote, "young, scrappy underdog coach that wanted to install a," quote, "spread gun option offense," end quote. Maurice Drayton, assistant special teams coach with the Green Bay Packers and graduate of the Citadel, sent via his agent his resume and references. Dan Quinn, previously the head coach of the Falcons before being fired a month before Muschamp, sent his interest in the job through a Falcons scout. Steve Wilks, who spent a season as head coach of the Cardinals, quote, "expressed particularly strong interest in the job," end quote, according to his agent, in an email to Tanner as well. USC great Robert Brooks advocated for NFL assistant coach Rick Bisaccia. None of those men were publicly reported as candidates for the job, and Tanner responded their overturns either not at all or with a polite generic promise that he'd add them to the list. There were no email records provided that showed correspondence to or from top South Carolina targets such as Shane Beamer, Billy Napier, Jamie Chadwell, or Scott Satterfield from Oklahoma, Louisiana, Coastal Carolina, or Louisville, respectively. Now, we have learned more of the story regarding Bob Caslin's interest in the head coach of Army, Jeff Munkin. Having taken over the Black Knights when Caslin was the superintendent at West Point, Munkin had a connection to be considered in Columbia. And the reports were that Munkin was being considered by Bob Caslin to take over that job. But according to emails, there was a backlash amongst Gamecock fans from that. One donor wrote in, quote, "If you need my financial support with hiring a new football head coach, let me know. I am willing to go as high as five figures in support for the right candidate. Under no circumstances will I financially support a decision to hire Munkin," end quote. Now, Munkin himself only appears in the emails one time. On November 23rd, he emailed Caslin a link to a promotional documentary touting the success of Army football. Caslin forwarded the link to Tanner, writing simply, "Ray, FYI, quote unquote. Now, the best email in all of this, Lonzo, came from a fan. A fan, just a random fan who wrote in, quote, "I think I would be a great candidate to be put into the mix. No, I do not have any experience coaching in the NCAA or anywhere, but I think we would take the NCAA, SEC, and world by storm, parentheses, sandstorm, if you decided to hire the youngest coach in college football history. I promise you, it wouldn't be a decision you regret. Give me a call when you're ready to make history. I'm a huge fan of this team and what everyone is doing at the University of South Carolina. So why not make history and see what I can do with this great team? End quote. The state did not report if there was a response to that fan. There were many other emails exchanged back and forth regarding how this decision was to be made, and there were plenty of other folks that were involved. There was another part in time where a number of emails to Tanner related to the coaching search were put out into the public. Kaslin wrote Tanner in response to a report by Sports Talk SC's Phil Kornblout that Rumpf, Florida offensive coordinator Brian Johnson were amongst those who were interviewed and said, quote, Ray, who in the world is leaking all this? Tanner replied, quote, I have no idea unless it is their agents. Now, here's the part of the discussion that I want to get into. And I'm going to start, though, by saying this. I am not surprised by any of this. I am not shocked by any of this. None of this is a surprise to me. All right. We knew that Monken was a guy that that Kaslin liked. Kaslin was an old military guy who got him into Army back in the day. There was a lot of discussion and there was a lot of backlash. We knew that at the time that it happened. What I take away from this, and this is not a South Carolina problem, Lonzo. This is just a college football problem. Do you see how much weight in the coaching search was given to boosters and non-administration staff to have their opinions heard based on the fact that they were willing to put money and support into the program if they got the guy that they wanted? Was that at all shocking to you?
No, and I don't. If it is shocking to somebody, you're naive, because we know that boosters have so much influence in a lot of things. I am curious, though, what prompted them to file the FOIA for this? What were they hoping to find, and why is this such a big story?
First, I'll say this, and this comes as a former journalist who used to, and when I say journalist, I mean investigative reporter. I used to work for a TV news crew back in the day, and I will tell you, though, we used to file FOIA reports for anything and everything. And it's not because you're looking for something specific, Lonzo. You're just looking. You're just looking, right? You're just looking. You may not even know what for.
See, here's why I'm asking why this is a story. Everybody knew that South Carolina, well, they should have been done at least a year, maybe 2 years earlier with Muschamp. Everyone knew that. So why is it a story? And I get what you're saying. You just go searching, hoping you find something to make a story out of it. But I'm trying to figure out why this is a story. And maybe it's because I'm jaded as far as knowing that boosters have influence. So to me, it's not that big of a deal. Just like, you know what? Football players use steroids. Wow. Surprise. It's the same sort of thing. I mean, you know it's out there. You know it's done. And you know, I just want Muschamp to go away. Anything about Muschamp, including the emails and stories about emails, just let him go, people.
I think it is a story, Lonzo, because and Josh Pate, who is a college football analyst for 24/7 Sports, made a very good point. I think a lot of people, while we know that boosters have influence in college football, I think a lot of people, Lonzo, genuinely don't understand, realize, think about just how much influence is had there, right? We all, I think, though, and I'm going to play a clip. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a break in a second. I'm going to play a clip after it. We all understand that boosters have influence, but we all want to believe that the folks that are in the front office, the folks that are in the front office of these universities, of these athletic departments, we want to believe that these programs are operating on a higher level of knowledge, of wisdom, than fans who have money. We want to believe that the Caslins and the Tanners of the world are operating on a higher level. And I'll give you the example.
Well, do we, though? I mean, because I mean, I've been accused of living in fantasy all the time, and I do. I absolutely agree with that. But I think it's fantasy to think that money is not the reason behind this, because money rules everything, and money rules college football.
I'm not arguing with that at all. I'm not arguing, and I understand that money is taken into every decision that's made, but you would still like to think,
and if you had that money, would you try to use that money to influence? I think you would. Even if you have the most purest of reasons, you're going to use that money to influence the powers that be to do what you think is best for the team.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think not paint with a broad brush. I think the vast majority of people that have the expendable income that they can promise five figures worth of donation support to a university football program is going to use their money to influence things the way. And some people use it for good and some don't. People who donate millions of dollars to charity every year are also using their money to influence things. They're just doing it through charitable organizations to make the world a better place, right? It's still influencing. I agree with that. What I'm saying is, I think we would like to think, and maybe I'm the outlier here, I would like to think that most of us as fans would like to think that we have people in positions of power in our university that understand the importance of these boosters and this money, but also are going to make the correct football decisions, understanding that at the end of the day, more money is brought in by winning than anything else. More money, if all the boosters said, that's not our guy, that's not our coach. And the example I was going to give, Lonzo, was when Clemson moved on and they went to hire a young guy by the name of Dabo Swinney from in-house, there were a lot of boosters at the time who were not thrilled about that hire. They were not thrilled about the hire of Dabo Swinney. There were bigger names and bigger markets that they would have said, I will give you more money for this guy. But Clemson made the decision they made. They went with Dabo Swinney, and I'm just taking a guess here, Zoe. You think Clemson is struggling at all with donations from boosters right now under Dabo?
I'm guessing they're probably doing all right.
Yeah. Money brings in more than giving boosters the coach they want. So when we come back here in just a second, I got a short clip from Josh Pate. He does a show for 24/7 Sports, and he said something in a clip while talking about these emails that really caught my attention. I'm going to play it for you and see if it catches yours as well when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. So Josh Pate is a college football analyst for 24/7 Sports. I know he's on regularly with Mark Ryan, and for a very good reason, I think. He put out a video on 24/7 Sports where he talked about his thoughts on these emails, and I think he summed it up in a way that I found thought-provoking. I think he's spot on with his analysis. And I wanted to play it for you because I didn't just want to steal his opinion, but I wanted to talk about it. So here is what Josh Pate had to say. I want you to listen to it and see if you have the same reaction that I did.
College football is in a big mess right now. Today, a lot of people think they took a giant step towards solving that problem by expanding the playoff. The problem is not attached to the postseason of college football. The problem is attached to the decision-making apparatus in many athletic departments in college football. You've got a huge issue in that you've got people making critical hiring decisions that are so ill-equipped and misinformed on what it takes to win. And things like, a student newspaper article or what's hot on social media. You think I'm joking with you? I'm telling you, more times than not, that stuff is factoring into the decision-making process, when in reality, any coaching search worth its salt is totally closed off to what is trending in hashtags on social platforms or what any kind of newspaper is writing. If the people on Twitter and the people writing the columns were good enough, they'd be running the athletic department. They're not. That's why they're covering you. You're supposed to be working and operating at a little bit higher intellectual or acumen level. Or at least you're supposed to be surrounded by people who do that. But that's not the case. And so you get the hires wrong. And then you dig holes that you can't get out of because you got enough Alabamas and Ohio States in the world that are freight trains with 100 cars going the same direction. And it creates this insurmountable gap. And instead of looking in the mirror and saying, we did this to ourselves, you use fancy enough language and you got a good enough nomenclature that confuses people into thinking the system is what holds us down. The system doesn't hold you down at Tennessee. The system hadn't held Texas down. System hadn't held South Carolina down. Poor hires have held them down. And this is a small microcosm of how it can go wrong. Now let's circle back to the hire they made at South Carolina. So they end up hiring Shane Beamer, who was thought to be the leader in the clubhouse from the very beginning. Now, as I've said before, and I'll say again, only takes one right hire to erase a multitude of wrong decisions. Arkansas may have done it with Pittman. Maybe South Carolina did it with Shane Beamer. I got an email from Thomas, who also wanted his question included in the Late Kick Extra podcast, but I'm going to answer it here. He said, over the last few months, has your opinion changed on Shane Beamer? Well, no, my opinion hasn't changed. I've got a generally positive opinion of him. I think that it could be a perfect woven into the fabric hire for that specific job. Beamer would be a terrible hire for the University of Washington and could still be a great hire for Carolina. Sam Pittman, does he fit at Arizona? Probably not. Fits at Arkansas, though. So it's very important. Culture and community and fit are infinitely more important in college football than they ever have been or will be at the NFL level. If you can coach for the Chargers, you can coach for the Patriots. You coach for the Oregon State Beavers, I don't know if you're fitting Auburn University just because you succeeded in one place. You get how it works. If you're watching this show, you're a big college football fan. You get how it works. But the point is, no, my opinion hasn't changed. I knew he'd come in and galvanize the fan base. I mean, certainly the fan base got him hired. They were all on board with it, which renders a lot of opinions moot, to be honest with you. It doesn't really matter what an outsider thinks if the insiders and the community at large really loves the hire, because it's your program. It's not my program or anyone else's program. It's your program. But I knew he'd galvanize the fan base. But listen, that's icing. You got to have the cake. So as we always say, the season will eventually come. It could be rough this year for him, but we're not talking about 2021 as being a judgment call on Shane Beamer. There is no must-win game this year for South Carolina. There will be down the road, but right now they got to get people on campus, people being recruits. They got to get them on campus. There's been some excitement around that program. It just, you have to sustain it. Any firecracker can burn for a little while. You got to have an inferno, man. You got to have something that burns and burns and burns. And there's no way to know if they have that yet.
But. All right, that's Josh Pate. He hosts the show called The Late Kick with Josh Pate. He goes live on the website on Thursdays and Sundays. He's on Mark Ryan's show, I believe weekly, as a matter of fact. But basically what he said there, Lonzo, is that the problem with South Carolina, the problem with places like Tennessee, et cetera, isn't that the system is holding them down. It's not that college football is holding them down. He says the problem that they have is that too often the culture itself doesn't fit. They let the wrong people have the wrong amount of power. And he went so far as to say, when it comes down to it, you've got to have people who know what they're doing, who know how to handle this stuff, be in charge of doing it and handling it. And I think, Lonzo, that he is spot on accurate with that take.
Yeah, and he often is. Had a lot of interaction with him when I was producing for Mark. And Josh is a good dude, and he knows what he's talking about and everything. But if the culture is running something, how do you fix that? I mean, we're in a different age now, an age that in the age of social media, there are a lot of new things out there that people are having to deal with. And the fact that all these guys can readily look and go, okay, here's what the populace is thinking. Maybe I should do what they want. There are some people that are easily influenced by that. And then there are other people who are smart enough to go, okay, is this the right fit for this team? Is this the person that's going to build this team into a winner? And you hope that those are the people who are actually making the decisions, and you don't really know for sure.
Yeah, I completely and entirely agree. Look, it's very simple. And look, I think I'm guilty of it as well. I think it's very easy to just work under the assumption that the folks in the front office or have a handle on it, know what they're doing, know how to handle this stuff, know exactly what to do, who to put in the right position, why to put them there, et cetera. I think it's very easy to work under that assumption. And what Josh Pate is saying here is, hey, man, It's not always like that, right? It's not always like that. That's not the way that it always works. And I think that he is spot on accurate with the way that he put that. I want your thoughts. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Texas on the Ingles Market text line at 71307. We'll take a quick run over some of the texts that have come in over the past few minutes when we come back to wrap up hour two of the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
ESPN Upstate, a couple of texts that have come in on the Ingles Market text line at 71307 at ESPN. You got to work on the internet stream at the studio before you go back to office, Rob, because Zoe is freezing more often than Mark Ryan when he sees someone without a mask on. We are working on that, I think, once I get back in studio. And I think I'll be doing a couple of days a week in studio starting next week as we transition into full time back in studio. But we're going to do some tests on that. At ESPN.
By the way, I've installed some new air fresheners in the office, so you should be good by
just
the time.
Just because I'm coming back.
No, to air out my stench.
At ESPN, bleep the Pelicans, bleep the Saints too. What? Where did that? Why the anger, man? Why the anger? At ESPN, Kawhi is now out indefinitely due to ACL injury. Yeah, I saw that too. That was part of the news we broke back in the opening hour of the show. No idea how long he will be out. We're going to talk about that in the third hour of the show. At ESPN, $20 million is worth more in New Orleans than in New York and California with their extremely high taxes. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the consideration everybody has to make, which is why a lot of players end up with more income than just the income from their contract. But, yeah, I agree. Talking about the boosters, quote, ESPN, money talks, Rob. Money talks in all walks of life. It shouldn't be shocking. Rich people follow different laws than us. Rich people get better things than us. Rich people do whatever they want. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.